This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is denying a report in the New York Times that says the president instructed then-Chief of Staff John Kelly to grant top-secret security clearance to Kushner. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says even if President Trump did order the security clearance, it's not a crime, but...
This is part of the problem, I think, with having family in official positions, because it's hard to be objective. Hard to be objective with the people you're having Thanksgiving dinner with.
President Trump's national emergency declaration at the southern border is receiving pushback from House Democrats as they voted to block it earlier this week. It's still unknown what will happen in the Senate. Republican Senator Ted Cruz tells the CPAC audience why he believes Democrats are against border funding and a border wall.
Here is their reasoning. Trump equals wall. We, the Democrats, hate Trump, therefore no wall. That's it.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. Because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined. I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com. And regain control of your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
It's becoming more and more dangerous to walk America's streets. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the latest on pedestrian fatalities.
Smartphones and SUVs are being blamed for pedestrian deaths climbing to their highest rates since 1990. A study out this morning from the Governor's Highway Safety Association says more than 6,200 pedestrians were killed in 2018, up from 4,100 in 2009. The report says a rise in SUV sales means pedestrians who are hit are more likely to die or suffer life-threatening injuries. And the report says people being distracted by their smartphones and not being focused on the road are another big factor.
Washington Governor Jay Inslee announced Friday morning that he's running for president, pledging to put the environment at the heart of his campaign for the Democratic nomination. In a video launching his campaign, Inslee says, "I'm the only candidate who will make defeating climate change our nation's number one priority." This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The Motion Picture Association gave the movie Unplanned an R rating. Now, the movie deals with abortion, but the filmmakers fear the rating was motivated by politics. Ashley Brachter is a star in the movie, and she talks about the R rating.
I honestly kind of anticipated this because abortion is R-rated, and for the MPAA to give us that rating, we don't have nudity, we don't have sex, we don't have language, so the only thing that they could give us an R for is violence. So that means that they agree that abortion is a violent and disturbing act.
And regarding a PG-13 rating, Brachter tells Fox News,
"We were hoping for it, I mean, because we would like for teens to be able to go by themselves to the theater, mm-hmm. because, you know, they can go in many states across the United States and have an abortion without parental consent as young as 13, but they can't go see this movie without parental consent."
NASCAR heads west to Las Vegas, to the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Many drivers are still unsure what to expect regarding the new rules package, since Daytona and Atlanta can be their own separate tracks and are anomalies on the NASCAR circuit. Last week's winner bragged Keselowski on how Las Vegas is completely different than Atlanta.
Atlanta is a very, I don't know how to put it, Atlanta is not like the other mile and a half in a lot of ways. You know, a lot of tire wear here. Super high speeds and banking, super high tire wear.
The race on Sunday at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway begins at 3:30 Eastern Time. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going.
Hey, we're back with you, America. We've got a country to save. Are you in? Okay, join us. Thank you. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Have you noticed the entire foreign policy and much of our domestic policy here in the United States and other Western governments, for that matter, based on the proposition that the vast majority of Muslims are moderate and peaceful, including those who are emigrating now in large numbers to Europe? Is this flawed thinking? Okay, think about it. Christine Douglas Williams joins us now. A little bit of her background. 9-time international award-winning journalist, TV producer, conducting over 1,700 live interviews. So this is nice and easy and fluid for her. We're going to be talking about her book, The Challenge of Modernizing Islam, Reformers Speak Out and the Obstacles They Face. Christine, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Great to be with you.
Well, good to be here to address this issue, because I got to tell you, if you want to say fly over America, fly over cities and states of this country, you know, they're scratching their heads and wondering, okay, what is going on? I mean, you know, this idea that a vast majority of Muslims are moderate, but yet when there are terrorist activity, it's radical Muslims, and sometimes people are saying, are we playing Russian roulette here?
Well, first of all, I'm going to start by saying a lot of the stats that talk about most Muslims are moderate, most are not violent, that is absolutely true, not overtly violent, and I don't want to ever give that impression that every Muslim out there ascribes to violent behavior. I will say, however, that other stats have been done extensively trying to find out the attitudes of Muslims when it comes to the West, the attitudes of Muslims when it comes to Sharia law specifically, and these also need to be taken into consideration, together with the fact that across the board, there have been endless numbers of mosques that have been discovered preaching hate and preaching Salafi ideology. Many of these mosques are funded by Saudi Arabia, being funded by Turkey, and are directly linked even to Iran, which has its proxies now operating globally. So the sad truth is we really do not know the numbers that are genuinely peaceful, not when you consider both stealth jihad and also violent jihad. Both are toward the same end, and that is to conquer the house of war.
And it's reasonable, is it not, Christine? If you have been raised with a certain doctrine, if you've been raised as a Catholic or a Christian or a Protestant, a Methodist, there is a worldview that is endemic to your perspective that continues on to your adulthood. So why would it be any different with Islam?
Very logical question, and my hope is that your listeners can freeze frame that question. Why would anybody of any logic assume that if somebody is coming from a land of a certain doctrine and Sharia law is the norm, why will they all of a sudden believe that because that that person has landed in the West, that suddenly, with the magical wave of a wand, maybe they've watched too many fantasy movies, why will they think that suddenly that person is going to change? That is a question that needs to be asked. The problem is people don't want to ask questions because they're afraid of being called Islamophobic.
Exactly. Well, there was a song when I was growing up, and in my disc jockey days, I played it many times, Al Wilson. It was called The Snake. And I don't know if you're too young, so you probably don't remember this song, but the basic storyline of it was that this gal finds this snake that is injured, and she takes it home and brings it back to life. And eventually the snake does what the snake does. He bites her. And she goes, what are you doing? I'm the one who saved you. I got you out of peril. And this is the way you treat me? And he says, you knew I was a snake. Now,
what we're seeing here, and I want to refer to that example, and by explaining another type of a scenario, a lot of Muslims that are coming to the West, especially the women, many of them are very happy to find themselves no longer under the same level of oppression of where they came from.
Exactly.
But once they settle in and they start going to these mosques that are funded by these foreign interests, their mind starts to change. The same victimology comes to life. The preaching about the colonialists, about the Zionists, about how this Judeo-Christian West is out to subvert Islam rather than the other way around.
Mm.
Because according to Islamic doctrine, the house, the whole world is divided into two houses, Dar al-Harb and Dar al-Islam, which means the house of war and the house of Islam.
Mm.
And the house of war must be subjugated under the house of Islam. So when people ask the question, is Islam a religion of peace? My straightforward answer is it could be. And the group of people that I interviewed in my book, The Challenge of Modernizing Islam, they believe that it could be, and they are trying to fight for that. Reformers have been killed throughout history trying to modernize Islam and say, look, let bygones be bygones. Let's just live in peace with the West, live in peace with all religions for that matter, and let's change.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a serious problem, because if you look at the Islamic fiqh, based on the Islamic fiqh, which is the Islamic jurisprudence comprising of, frankly, a theological and legal system, and it's based on the divine Sharia,
exactly.
It is not peaceful. And anybody who wants to argue this, because we do have people that argue it for Muslims, let them go and
right.
face the Sheikh of Al-Azhar University, where all Islamic jurisprudence from Sunni Islam comes from, that particular institution. Let them argue with the ulama, with the mullahs of Iran, and see how far it gets them.
Exactly.
Because that is what the law indicates.
Christine, how do you homogenize this in an American culture? I mean, this is a conflict of cultures and ideology. I mean, we've got enclaves already existing in our country, in a sense, kind of like Paris, France. And I got in trouble because I used a term that is regularly used, but I guess maybe not spoken out loudly, called no-go zones. But we're starting to have no-go zones in this country when it comes even to Islam, where you know, honor killings are still practiced.
Yes.
The oppression of women is still practiced. But it's like, okay, the neighboring zip codes have to just put their head in the sand and just ignore it, I guess.
You're one of the informed, but there are many out there who are, their head is in the sand and they don't want to believe it until it explodes and becomes like a war zone, like we've seen in France, we've seen it in Sweden, and then they can't deny it anymore. But it is true. In America, there are no-go zones. This is a different way of thinking that I have proposed again and again, that we stop blaming them for what they said they already were. The
yes.
Muslim Brotherhood has documented all of its plans. Al-Qaeda has documented its plans. We've got documentations that come out of Al-Azhar University on what Islam is. It is a global affair that they themselves have proclaimed, the PLO charters. We're talking about all this peace in the Middle East. Everything is out there for full view for anybody to read. When Westerners have failed to take charge and guard their own gates, one has to seriously look in the mirror and ask the question, who is really to blame?
Exactly.
If I am looking at the case of a maximum security prison, and somebody walks in there and lets out every prisoner within a small area of village, what do they expect to happen? There is nothing going on in the West now that was not already proclaimed before we decided to open our doors wide and disbelieve the truth about what is obvious globally, the persecution of minorities, of Christians, of gays, of everyone. We choose to ignore that. So if we fling open our gates and allow them in. Why do we expect any different than what we're already getting? It is the West to blame. They've put all of their power, their entire constitutions, into the hands of a lot of Islamic supremacists because the Muslim Brotherhood has taken over, and they continue to give it over to Muslims as opposed to take charge, have confidence in the constitutions of the United States, of Canada, and of Europe.
Got to go to break. Christine Douglas is Williams is with us. The challenge of modernizing Islam is the topic. More on the other side. Stay with us. 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The deep state began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Think they'd get away with it, did you? Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're We're back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. The Crypto King just sent me this text, breaking news. Putin is all in. $40 trillion is going to be allocated to the cryptocurrency sector. This is the largest transfer of wealth in human history. For more information on cryptocurrency, check out our website, BillMartinezLive.com. Click on the Crypto Profit for more information. See if it makes sense for your family, because the underserved is about to have a ton of money as long as they would say in the modern vernacular that they are woke. So we want you to be woke and wealthy. Why not? Check it out for yourself at BillMartinezLive.com. The challenge of modernizing Islam. We're grateful for Christine Douglas Williams to be here to talk about her conversations with so many and realizing that this is an uphill battle, is it not, Christine?
It is a terrible uphill battle, and what's even worse about it is how far it's managed to advance, specifically through the Muslim Brotherhood. First of all, there is a reason why Muslim Brotherhood interests, like CARE, that is Hamas-affiliated, comes out and consistently points to organizations like ISIS and other violent entities to say, this is not how Muslims think. This is not what Muslims are. They try to do it as a cover because they ascribe to what you would call a stealth jihad, a takeover, in their own, using their own means, which is a peaceful means of takeover. Right. For example...
And that's nothing new. That's nothing new, right, Christine? I mean, this has been consistent with the model that they've used forever. Right?
For anybody that has any questions about what we're saying here, read the Muslim Brotherhood plan for North America. The document was presented as court evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial. It is a fact. It is a document. And it has been documented and discussed again and again. There's nothing new about this. But what they ascribe to is a stealth form, and one of the biggest weapons they use is this term Islamophobia. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a guy that worked with the IIIT, the International Institute for Islamic Thought. He was once an imam, and he was there when the word Islamophobia was packaged for marketing. And he since left the IIIT and came out openly and said that Islamophobia was invented in the bowels of Muslim think tanks, he called it, to beat down critics. Mm-hmm. And it is nothing, he says, but a thought-terminating cliche to do so. This is what is consistent with the Sharia, where Islam must not be criticized, it must not be subjected to scrutiny, there's an immutability of the decree when it comes to Islamic law, and they have actually imposed that on the West using forces like the Organization of Islamic Cooperation that has a global observatory with Islamophobia, and this is something that's pervaded everywhere. I mean, globally.
Exactly.
You've got this not only there, but now it's in countries like, in fact, all over the world, all over Europe, Canada, the United States. Canada has now ascribed to anti-Islamophobia motion M103, and we can guess who's backing that. CARE-CAN, now known as the National Council of Canadian Muslims. So you shut down free speech. You shut down discussions about parts of Islam and the Sharia that is not consistent with the freedoms ascribed in Judeo-Christian democracy. Mm-hmm. You have already lost that war before you even begin to fight it.
Well, Christine,
that's what's happening.
We set ourselves up, I mean, because we're ignorant of our Constitution and First Amendment right. They suspend the responsibility aspect of these freedoms. And so what happened is they're coming in and using the Constitution against us with freedom of speech and freedom of the press.
Well, there's also a sense of victimization. And I think everybody that has a sense of human rights and sympathies, and they want to love their fellow man and woman, they need to be thinking about the real victims here. The real victims are those that are getting slaughtered daily in Islamic states. The women that are getting acid thrown in their faces for trying to get an education, or in some cases trying to merely not wear their hijab. They need to be thinking
learn to drive.
Exactly. They need to understand the real victims here, the women that have been raped throughout Europe as a result of wide-open immigration. They need to think about the real victims of jihad terror. Instead, they have their heads stuck in an era of colonialism, of racism in the history, and now, since that has long passed, I mean, you guys in the U.S., I'm living in Canada here, have seen a black president. What more do you want? You've got Muslims working in every field, whether it be government, whether it be private enterprise. This is a free continent, a free world now. The West has come, has grown by leaps and bounds, while slaves are still being held in places like Algeria, Sudan, Mauritania, and other places in the Islamic world. Blacks are looked down on. You look at even a place like Iran, the Afghans, there's still an apartheid going on there, where Afghans are sitting at the back of the bus and they're not even allowed to share the same polls. Mm-hmm. Why are human rights people aren't even looking at the real victims? They're stuck looking at themselves, gazing at the ground about the past and not living in the present to realize what is overtaking us.
We've really
victimizing us.
And we've really let go of common sense, as we talked about earlier, Christine. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we used to go for, believe it or not, 5 cents. We could go to the movies. And if you had a quarter, you could actually get something to drink and maybe even some candy. That's how far back it goes. But we would see these spaghetti westerns. And always at the outside of town, you would see the good guys meeting up with the bad guys. And the first question was, are you friend or foe? And we can't, and we're not asking that anymore. We're just, you know, the gates are open, walls are torn down, people are coming in, taking over our governments, our worldviews, and then we wonder, all under the guise of Islamophobia, we're getting worked here.
Well, all of these politicians that are pushing this and pushing global open doors, why don't they open up their own houses
exactly.
and house these unknown immigrants coming into the countries?
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to make it look like we're anti-immigrant. There's nobody that I know personally who was anti-immigrant. They are anti-irresponsible immigration, not anti-immigrant. There is a huge difference between the two that is not allowed to even be discussed openly.
Yeah, and of course, the people that are impacted most are you know, the cultures, like, for example, MS-13. MS-13 isn't hanging out in Beverly Hills. They're not hanging out where Nancy Pelosi lives. They're hanging out in Hispanic communities, and they're tormenting the Hispanic communities. You know, just a case in point. And so the same thing that's happened, you know, birds of a feather will flock together. We've got places in Minnesota where we've got little Somalia that's going on. And there's all kinds of radical behavior going there. But God forbid that it would be addressed, announced, and, you know, resolved because of Islamophobia and our oversensitivity to this victimized class, so to speak.
The sad thing is that the battle being waged, the turf wars being waged inside Islam has now arrived on our soil.
Yes.
And this is something where we have not woken up to realize. The full-blown jihad attacks are more in line with ISIS, with Al-Qaeda, and these types of entities. But the Muslim Brotherhood wars that we're seeing is very much in tune with the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, it is the Muslim Brotherhood. But we've seen this going on for some time before it even arrived in Western territory, because the whole Muslim Brotherhood had a vision of what they called reform, and they wanted to change Islam to make it more humane, but albeit still under Sharia law. So they developed charitable institutions. They institutionalized Islam in a way that looks kind of like democracy, but it couldn't be anything further from democracy based on the Sharia. So this was their vision of reform. And then you have yet another vision of reform that's saying, look, let's just leave this behind and move on, live peaceably with the West, live peaceably among other nations, and accept what Islamic doctrine really is, but move on from there. And
exactly.
yet there's another brand of reform, taking Islam back, the Wahhabism, back to the 7th century in the days of Muhammad. People don't realize that these wars, this turf war, has landed on our soil, and we did it without even thinking what we were doing, and we're still actually supporting it.
Christine, about 50 seconds left in the challenge of modernizing Islam. You spoke with Islamic reformers. What do they say the solution is to all this?
The solution is what they call ijtihad, generally speaking, which is an open mind, which is desanctifying, if you want to put it that way, Islam. Talk about it. Insult. Do what you need to do. Discuss it. Let's have an open discussion. Not hate and violence, but let's have an open discussion. They believe in Judeo-Christian democracy.
Interesting. Well, the conversation will continue. Christine Douglas-Williams has been our guest. Her book, Challenge of Modernizing Islam, available at all the usual places, right, Christine?
Yes, it is. Every major bookstore.
And, of course, we'll link it on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Christine, this is great stuff. I appreciate the information. Thank you for all the hard work. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You have a great one. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is denying a report in the New York Times that says the president instructed then-Chief of Staff John Kelly to grant top-secret security clearance to Kushner. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says even if President Trump did order the security clearance, it's not a crime, but...
This is part of the problem, I think, with having family in official positions, because it's hard to be objective. Hard to be objective with the people you're having Thanksgiving dinner with.
President Trump's national emergency declaration at the southern border is receiving pushback from House Democrats as they voted to block it earlier this week. It's still unknown what will happen in the Senate. Republican Senator Ted Cruz tells the CPAC audience why he believes Democrats are against border funding and a border wall.
Here is their reasoning. Trump equals wall. We the Democrats hate Trump, therefore no wall. That's it.
This is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live. Live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Daniel Greenfield is with us. Always good to have him here. He's a showman journalism fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Is a New York writer focusing on radical Islam, a blogger and a columnist born in Israel and living in New York City. Daniel, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, let's talk about Representative Omar's anti-Semitism. You say what it comes down to, it's a reflection of CARE's anti-Semitism, right?
Absolutely. So just for some of your listeners who might not be aware, CARE is the Center for American Islamic Relations. It's really the main Islamic organization in the United States. It's tied to a group known as the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. The Muslim Brotherhood is in itself tied to pretty much every jihadist organization on the planet, including Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Osama bin Laden was once upon a time a Muslim Brotherhood member. Hamas, for example, is an actual arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's an extremely racist, anti-Semitic organization. And the things that Representative Omar said are absolutely the things that CARE's leaders have been saying for ages.
Now, CARE is all this radical
Islamist more or less umbrella and portal into the United States and into our government. Is it not? I mean, is that kind of an overly simplistic way to look at it? Because some people, when they hear CARE, it comes up from time, you know, their name comes up time and again, but I don't think they quite understand how they enmesh and how they, you know, they're serving kind of as the entryway into our country politically to support the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, and all these radical Islamists.
Absolutely, that's a completely accurate assessment. They began building a lot of this infrastructure before September 11th,
mm-hmm.
When they were actually much more blatant and open about their intentions, and there were limited government attempts to actually raid them, to crack down on some of these organizations. There were crackdowns on the Holy groups like the Holy Land Foundation, which was openly raising money for terrorists,
mm-hmm.
and the Islamic Association of Palestine, which was tied into all this. Since then, since September 11th, they began to kind of evolve. They built more front groups, and they became more careful about what they say, but the reality is this kind of rhetoric very much runs through everything, and it's important to understand that the Muslim Brotherhood is an international organization, much like Al-Qaeda is, except that it's a political organization, at least in public, rather than a terrorist organization, but it
exactly.
very much intersects with terrorist organizations.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, CARE became more prominent after 9/11, and they were the propaganda arm to protect all Muslim interests, and particularly those Muslim interests that served these radical Islamists, right? Is that fair?
Absolutely. So CARE campaigned against cooperation with the FBI, against using informants in mosques, and they played a double game. And the first thing they did was they claimed that Muslims were the real victims of September 11th. There had been this blowback. Americans were now discriminating against them. On the other hand, of course, they insisted on not actually cooperating with the FBI. When you have a Muslim terrorist attack, half the time the family will get up and they'll do their press conference, and a CARE representative will be there with them
right.
directing the press conference.
Exactly. Well, just like so much of our government, let me ask you this, Daniel. Is CARE receiving any kind of government support from the United States?
So during the Obama era, you had CARE people kind of entangled and getting briefed. If you mean money, government grants, they can benefit from things locally. I don't believe they benefit from things internationally, certainly not under President Trump. But back in the day, Obama's plan for fighting terrorism was something called CVE, or Countering Violent Extremism, which meant recruiting supposed moderate Muslim groups like CARE people to actually argue on social media with ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
This was an embarrassing failure and a complete disaster, but it brought people like that into government. It brought them into a position where they were actually able to make all sorts of cases. And you have all sorts of people associated with them, associated with Islamic organizations that have gone very high. For example, Bernie Sanders' campaign manager now is a guy named Faiz Shakir, who was formerly had a high position with Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy who was very much entangled with Islamic organizations, at least back in his college days, and since then has gone on a political path of advocating for them.
Now, would it seem, I mean, you know, we look at the Democratic Party and where they are right now, and they've been duped, it seems, or the other way around. I'm not sure how to place this, but, you know, and I want to give the Democratic Party the benefit of the doubt. But at every turn, it seems that they continue to embrace these outside groups. And, you know, and it is amazing to me. And I don't know why I'm surprised, and certainly the people shouldn't be surprised that when, you know, Representative Omar was elected, you know, what did people expect from her?
This really began, again, after September 11th, the Democrats looking for a good angle to attack Bush, and this was before Iraq. So one of them was, of course, that the Bush administration was enabling this persecution of Muslims, so they got in very close with CARE. They got in very close with these Islamic groups, and they pretended to be their defenders against these this harassment from the administration. They got behind the Gitmo terrorists. During the Obama era, we were releasing terrorists from Gitmo at a crazy rate,
mm-hmm.
With dangerous consequences. So they reinvented this kind kind of identity where they're defending Muslims as a persecuted group. And by Muslims, they usually mean Muslim Brotherhood activists, because the political representatives for Muslims in America end up being members of CARE, members of these other groups who have set up this vast network of local organizations. They've used outside funds for mosques. And thus, whenever local politicians want to talk to representatives, the Muslim community of these guys.
Yes, exactly. Well, we know that when we looked to see, you know, about, you know, migrant persecution and how many migrants we were going to take into our country, it was predominantly Muslims that were being thrust upon us. And the real body of the abused, which were Christians and Jews, were kept down, and of course they seem to be that group seemed to be scrutinized by UN policies. Is that still the case, Daniel?
So what you're referring to is during the Obama administration, for the first time you had more Muslims coming in as refugees than Christians, even though obviously Christians are far more persecuted around the world, because when you look outside the United States, there are not that many Christian countries. There are, of course, a whole lot of Muslim countries. Most Muslims live in Muslim-majority countries, which means they can't really be refugees or victims of religious persecution. Mm-hmm. Now, this has been reversed under the Trump administration, which actually began taking, once again, actual Christian refugees, as opposed to people who were claiming to be Syrian or Iraqi and claiming to be persecuted. Right. But again, these are Muslim-majority countries. You're not facing religious persecution. You might be facing danger, but, you know, most of the world is full of dangerous countries.
Well, the part of the country that Representative Omar represents is predominantly Muslim there in Michigan, and this was all part of the Obama administration's resettlement program of Somalis that, you know, came to our country. Well, you know, what did we expect when we, you know, basically created a little Somalia in the United States? And these aren't people that are assimilating. I mean, clearly, you listen to Omar's response and her statements. I mean, they are so anti-Semitic and border on being anti-American.
Yeah, there are these little Mogadishus. They're hubs for terrorism. We've seen ISIS recruits. We've seen Al-Qaeda plots coming out of these little Mogadishus with Somali migrants. And, again, we're seeing a very consistent political anti-Semitism. Before Omar, there was Keith Ellison, who had been a member of the Nation of Islam, who had said multiple anti-Semitic things over the years. Whoever's going to replace Omar down the road is going to be more bigoted, not less.
Yeah, without a doubt. We're talking with Daniel Greenfield, and we're going to take a quick break, and we've got more from him on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in
for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stair lift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Daniel Greenfield continues with us, a showman journalist fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, as a New York writer focusing on radical Islam, a blogger and columnist born in Israel and living in New York City. His original biweekly column appears at Front Page Magazine. Where can they go for more information, Daniel?
FrontPageMag.com is a really great site. I'm there. Quite a few other very talented writers are there. You can find David Horowitz and Jamie Glazov and many others who are published there. Mm-hmm. I think it's well worth a read.
Daniel, real quick, sidebar on Israel right now. We understand that Benjamin Netanyahu is fighting for his political life. Can you update us on that right now?
So you have these kinds of elections in Israel from time to time. Basically, the left is quite unpopular in Israel, so it has to disguise itself in various ways. The most common thing that it does is it creates fake third parties. I think we'll probably be seeing that here in the next election also. And, you know, voters can be fooled once, but they're less likely to be fooled twice, so they bring in these political neophytes, usually former generals who have a choice between being some sort of lobbyist or getting into politics. So they wait a few years, they jump into politics, they become the public face for another fake left-wing party that has absolutely no purpose except the same kind of enabling of terrorists, but they claim to be centrist, and that's what we're seeing in Israel. Again, I think Netanyahu is largely going to end up on top, but for now you have this kind of campaign that's very much backed by the media. The media in Israel is extremely left-wing. It's backed by certain people in what one might call the deep state, which means law enforcement, the judiciary, which again in Israel is still controlled by the left. Mm-hmm. But overall, every time they've tried this, they've ultimately failed.
Well, in the midst of all this that's going on politically, they're dealing with world problems. I mean, we still have, you know, bombs and missiles being thrown into Israel by Hamas. You know, it is an ongoing attack here. I mean, has Israel had a month of peace in the last year?
There's no real peace because it's like having a rabid dog outside your door. It's always trying to jump and get in. And you can sometimes keep the door successfully closed, but your we're always aware that it's there. So you've got terrorists that every day want to kill Israelis. They occasionally try to do it. Every few days is another attack. There was a horrible murder of a young woman very recently. Now, Israel has increasingly amped up its security under Netanyahu. It's been pretty good at deterring some of the commonplace attacks that used to be. You would have suicide bombers killing 20, 30 people on a bus. Back in the early part of the millennium. You don't really have that anymore, but at the same time, the rabid dog is always there. There are always attacks, always attempted stabbings, attempted shootings, attempted drive-by shootings. And you've got a huge cache of missiles by Hamas. You've got a huge cache of missiles by Hezbollah. They're funded, armed, and trained by Iran and Qatar. And a whole lot of taxpayer money under Obama went to Iran. There's still a lot of European money going to Iran. So people think a lot about Iranian nukes, but Iran, beyond nuclear weapons, is the sponsor for terrorism really across the Middle East, into the United States, and obviously in Israel.
Exactly. Well, I know when I was in Israel a couple of years ago, they had just completed the car intifada, then went into the knife intifada. It's been a while since we've heard about intifadas, but meanwhile, there have been, you know, the barrage of missiles still being hoisted over the boundary there and into Israel.
Yeah, this is very much an ongoing issue. And again, there's no actual solution, because when you're living next door to Islamic terrorists, the problem doesn't just go away. You can't make a peace deal and make it go away, as a lot of diplomats insisted, as John Kerry tried to insist, and really as Netanyahu's political opponents are insisting. You can't make a deal with terrorists. Ultimately, they're still going to come back and try to kill you.
Well, Daniel, I wanted to also talk about your report of Linda Sarsour raising money for a monster. Report to our audience about that.
So recently, there was a Supreme Court case involving a Muslim on death row. And this man was an absolute unambiguous monster. Before this, he had murdered two African-American boys, one of them 13. That actually got him life in prison. Then he brutally raped and murdered a 15-year-old girl named Tiffany. He stabbed her so many times that when her body was recovered, even really most of it was gone, you could still see actual marks on the skull where he had stabbed her. Now, after all this, he stole the few dollars and spending money that her mother gave her. Then he went back and offered to help her mother look for her. So this guy was really an unambiguous monster. He was sentenced to death. And you know, these cases really drag on. They drag on for decades. Finally, recently, his turn came. And toward the end, he insisted that he needed to have an imam with him in the death chamber. Now, death chambers, we're talking about lethal injection here. That means it has to be a sterile medical environment. You can't just have anybody walk in there.
Right.
So the prison said that only its employees could be in the death chamber. The imam could be in the viewing chamber, which is eventually where he was. But this guy took the case to the Supreme Court and various Islamic groups and really quickly came in to lobby for him. And after he was put down, Linda Sarsour began saying that we need to raise money for his burial, we need to give him a good Muslim burial, and really you have this embrace of a man who was a complete horrifying monster, who seemed to have no conscience whatsoever, whose victims were African-American, and yet you have this Muslim lobby getting behind him.
This is amazing. And how much was she able to raise? Do you have any idea?
I don't have the number off the top of my head. I believe it was in the 20, 30,000 range.
Amazing. Amazing that she could even raise that much, you know, for somebody so despicable as this man was, regardless of his faith or way of living. That is just awful. Daniel, you say the Jussie Smollett hoax and the media's tribal war on America, you know, quite interesting that we went so quickly from the Covington Catholic hoax to the Smollett hoax. What is this telling us?
This is the kind of stuff that the media likes. It's their prejudices. They're convinced the Trump supporters are violent racists. So they're always on the lookout for stories that fit that prejudice the way, you know, bigots usually are. Mm-hmm. So they had one story that fit the template. It was shot down. They went to another story. Now they're going to pretty soon pivot to a third story, because when you're prejudiced, when you're a bigot, you're always looking for stories that affirm your worldview, that affirm your prejudices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were discussing this with a professor out of Kentucky who has written a book on these hoaxes that keep getting perpetrated on us. And in his research, he found that just about all, I mean, and this is crazy, Daniel, when you think about it, just about all the high-profile, you know, victimhood-type reports, the hate crimes, you know, that have happened in America that the media has jumped on, have all proven to be hoaxes. I mean, it's just like right now, we're the perfect storm, you know, with President Trump, as you mentioned earlier. Anything that can come against President Trump is immediately given place without any kind of research or even due process to consider that people may be lying.
There's been a rash of this that actually picked up after President Trump won. You suddenly had, I believe, five or six major hate crime hoaxes. The media embraced them. They were all shot down. And some of these hoaxes were every bit as absurd as the Jussie Smollett one. There was the Muslim college student who claimed that Trump supporters approached her and told her to take off her hijab or they would set her on fire. I mean, it's stuff that makes no sense, but the media absolutely doubled down on it until it was disproven.
So how many more times do they get away with this? I mean, they have a long record, but of course, you know, the media is not going to report on itself. I guess that's like doing brain surgery on yourself. But, I mean, they're losing credibility every day. This whole, you know, environment of fake news that they have contributed to, it's no wonder that they continue to lose subscribers and readers and people who watch, you know, this fake news that they put out over the airways.
Yeah, every poll shows that trust in media is at an all-time low. Congress has low ratings. The media has even lower ratings.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is people also have short attention spans. So a week from now, a month from now, there'll be another story like this. And a lot of people have forgotten the lessons that they learned this time around. Mm-hmm. And the media is counting on that because we're a society that has a sense of attention deficit disorder. And conservative media is not that great at connecting the various lessons, at stringing them all together. So it's very important that a book like this is being written. It's very important mm-hmm. that we actually group all this together because all too often people move from one outrage to the next. And when we function that way, the media wins.
Well, here it is. I mean, we've gone through, what, almost 2 years of the Robert Mueller special investigation that's gone on. And as we've been discussing on this show, you know, we've got real issues in this country to really investigate. But I think after 2 years and $30 million plus dollars, the people are kind of weary. I mean, the last thing they want to hear about is another special prosecution. Now, there's some Republicans that are trying to put the heat on saying, wait a minute, you know, you guys repeatedly stepped over real criminal activity that came out of the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton herself, and including the President of the United States, because Barack Obama knew that he was sending emails. He used a false email himself to communicate with Hillary Clinton on this, you know, this public server for all, and this non-secured server. So it is such a such a conspiracy, and you know, such a cabal in a way that the FBI has done us no favors, and Robert Mueller. But meanwhile, you know, the mainstream is just saying, "Look, I'm worn out. I just want Bob Mueller to go away, whether he tells us the whole truth or nothing. But you know, it's just politics, and we're going to file it and file it away, and just try to get back to some kind of normal life."
So on one level, the whole Mueller thing is very much pursuing a conspiracy theory invented by the Clinton campaign. That Trump was an agent of the Russians. The conspiracy theory makes as much sense as the whole Jussie Smollett hoax. Why is actually Trump working for Putin? Again, nobody can actually explain this one.
Right.
But they're also very much active in covering up the various crimes committed by the Clintons, but also committed under the Obama administration, some of which are still coming out. We have yet another major scandal at this point involving FHA, which involves really the mortgage loans that were being conducted under
exactly.
the Obama administration. The media underreports all these stories.
Well, Daniel, we got to leave it there until we talk again. Daniel Greenfield, Shulman Journalism Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate the insight.
Thank you again for everything you do.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now, your private insurance may cover costs and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Most of you know that